The Herald Tribune Conference on Current Problems has always stood on a platform nonpartisan on every subject. Because of this fact and the interest in all constructive work which the paper shares with our chief executive, we have the honor of closing our program tonight with a message from the man at the head of the nation. To you who are gathered here, and to those of you who are in your homes throughout the country, I have the great pleasure of presenting, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Conference on Current Problems, I wish that I could have attended in person all of the sessions of your conference. Because of the wide field of human endeavor which it has covered, and because also of the distinguished group of speakers to whom you have listened, the world as a whole is, I believe, making progress in meeting current problems, because the world as a whole realizes that the problems are new, and as such must be met in large part with new answers. And if you were to ask me, I would tell you frankly that in my judgment, the greatest achievement of the past 2 years in the United States has been the fact that the American people have taken and are taking a greater interest in and have acquired a better understanding of current problems affecting their welfare and the world's welfare than at any time, at least during the present generation, your lifetime and mine. That is a very heartening thought to all of us who believe in the Republican form of government as carried into effect by majority rule. In every walk of life and in every part of the country, it has become a normal and an interesting thing when two or more people are gathered together for them to talk over methods of improving the economic and the social lot of our citizenry. Yes, more and more people are doing their own thinking. I think the number of poll parrots in our midst is steadily declining, for which we must be very thankful. More and more men and women are looking up their own facts and forming their own opinions. And equally important, we are learning in these days to discriminate between real news and mere rumor. As a people, we put our tongues in our cheeks when a fact or a series of facts are distorted, no matter what motive is the cause of that distortion. We as a people, throughout the length and breadth of the country, are less and less inclined to believe those who would create fear or encourage panic. We as a people pay small attention to those gossip mongers who invent tales, generally, of course, with a selfish objective behind the tales. You and I, as sensible Americans, know of daily instances which mar rather than help our common efforts for calm discussion of current problems, such as you have been engaged in the past 2 or 3 days. Just for example, I cite one instance that occurred this very day. It was in fact a rumor which I believe started in Wall Street and spread from there to Chicago, and from there came back to Washington for verification. This particular rumor happened to be the immediate retirement of 3 members of the Cabinet of the United States: the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Labor, and the Secretary of the Treasury. And it even went to the extent of announcing the name of a new Secretary of the Treasury. And that rumor was heard or read by hundreds of people all over this country this afternoon. Now, the origin of that report of that rumor came, because we tried to check on it, came from what was politely called an anonymous source. But that was not strange, nor was it unusual. And so, my friends, I urge that every one of you consider and analyze the source and the motive back of every report and every rumor that you read. Fortunately and happily, the overwhelming mass of the American people pay no more attention to that kind of rumor than I do. Today's story, of course, happens to be wholly untrue, but I assure you that I do not take the trouble to issue denials, because I have an abiding faith, both in the sense of proportion and in the sense of humor, of our reading public. And it is with a very definite sense of gratification that I tell you of my conviction that the great mass of our people have both feet on the ground, that they are increasingly interested in the truth, increasingly interested in arriving at sound conclusions regarding our national progress in meeting current problems. So for that reason, I am glad to have this opportunity of sending my greetings to a gathering of intelligent men and women who know how to discriminate in making up their minds about the current problems of American life. Keep up the good work.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States has spoken to you from the White House in Washington. Introduced by Mrs. Ogden Reed of New York, his address brought to a conclusion the fourth annual Women's Conference on Current Problems, arranged by the New York Herald Tribune. The series, which has been held at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City, was opened yesterday morning by Mrs. Roosevelt when she spoke on changing standards, the general theme of the two-day meeting. Preceding speakers on the program tonight were the Honorable John G. Winant, Governor of New Hampshire, who spoke on old age security, the Governor of Massachusetts, the Honorable Joseph P. Ely, who spoke on political security, and Colonel Henry Breckinridge, whose subject was New Frontiers in Public Service. Anyone wishing information about the discussions which have taken place in the Herald Tribune Forum should address his request to the station to which he is listening. Next Sunday night, September 30th, at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the President will utilize the combined coast-to-coast networks of the National Broadcasting Company to have another of his famous fireside chats with the people of the nation. This broadcast has come to you from New York and Washington through the National Broadcasting Company.